Well, we've got several things I'd like to just present to you or have for the rest of the evening as you leave here in just a little bit. We've got some stickers back in the lobby that have Burkina Faso. Just, I think it's their flag and just the name. And you can stick in your Bible or stick in a prayer list or something that you can remember to pray for the Turners. And we're very grateful for them. But I wanted our church to know best what we can do for them. Again, as they leave, what should we do for them? And so I'll just give you a little bit of the heads up and a little bit, Marty. I'll ask you to come and pray for Michael, not right now, but at the invitation time. Marty will come as chairman of our deacons, and then some others can gather around. We'll pray for them as they go. But then one person that I know knows more about this than anybody else, and that'd be Brother Graham. Because the Lord has taken him literally around the world, but has given him great experience and what we can do for missionaries. And so I've asked Brother Graham to come and preach to us just for a little while what our church can do as the Turners go to Africa. So Brother Graham, would you come and give us that? And I hope you'll take some notes how we can be a blessing to this family as they head out from here.
Well, it's a privilege to be a part of this tonight. Isn't this exciting? It's been fun. We've had missionaries from the Philippines. Thank the Lord for Brother Augie. We've had the singing. We've had challenges and heard Michael and Victoria give us their heart. Let us sense their heart and what God wants to do through them. And so tonight I've got a couple of passages I'd like us to look at. But if you want to begin with me, in Romans chapter 15, the Apostle Paul is coming to Rome. He hasn't been there yet, but he asked specifically for something that he needs above everything else. Now, we're all used to missionaries coming and asking for support. That's okay, right? Michael, you've done that a couple of times recently, probably. And to go to a foreign field, there's a necessity to raise that support. Brother Augie lives in the Philippines, ministers through Filipinos, apparently Filipinos in Saudi Arabia. Wonderful. And yet, because he is from the Philippines, he didn't have to go to language school. He didn't have to learn the culture. But as the Apostle Paul writes to this church, he's asking them specifically for something very important. It says in chapter 15, verse 28, when therefore, Paul says, I have performed this, and that is he has to go to Jerusalem. He's taking money to the poor saints there in Jerusalem. And have sealed to them this fruit, that is, I've given to the people in Jerusalem this offering that I'm taking, I will come by you into Spain. For I'm sure that when I come into you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted by the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. The Apostle Paul, as he headed toward Rome, he wasn't asking for money. Now, he does encourage the church to get him on his way, but he was asking specifically for this need, and that is prayer. Now, there's another passage very important, and that's Acts chapter 13, where we have the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. You probably preached on that a few times, Michael. Yeah. It's a great missionary challenge in the church. That first group of missionaries sent out to preach the gospel, Acts chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Now, there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius and Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, that is, the men who were working in that church, ministering, preaching, and teaching, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, now, the first part of that is the men like Saul and Barnabas. But the Holy Ghost said to whom? He said it to the church because he says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And then it says in verse 3, and when they, that's the church now, had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now tonight I'd like to talk about what the church owes their missionary, what the church needs to do for their missionaries. Now, there's many things I could say. I have four pages, Pastor. I left two of them at home. And I'm only going to use half of this one, okay? So we won't be too long. But listen, it is so important that we pray for this couple. They're not going to North Carolina. We could send missionaries to North Carolina. We probably have some we support here in the States. We're not sending them to even, you know, distant, strange places like California. We're not sending them to England, though thank the Lord for our missionaries serving the Lord in England, or to Puerto Rico. We're sending them to West Africa. We're sending them to a place that is, there's advisories among all the major nations to not go. You knew that. They say, don't go to this place. They're saying, don't go because it's dangerous. And so we, trusting God, and they, sensing God's call, are saying, here am I, Lord, send me. So we need to do like the, think of this church in Antioch. Nobody had ever done this. Nobody had ever gone out preaching the gospel in far distant places. And as they left, the Bible says, they then fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Verse 14, 4 says, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. The church sent them, but the Holy Ghost sent them first. This is their need. And we need to join with them, with their family, with their other supporting churches, with their sending church, and pray. This afternoon, as I was looking over the notes that I wanted to give tonight, I looked up Burkina Faso. And after I read that, I quit studying my notes and I started praying for the Turners. It's a place, folks. It's a real place. And it's a place that has certain dangers. Now, in the will of God, we're as safe as we'll ever be. You can be killed in Gray, Tennessee. You can die any place you go. You can serve the Lord. We lived in a place for 40 years where kidnappings were, people in our church were kidnapped. We never had a church that I can remember, except perhaps the first one we were in less time, where people weren't murdered. We don't normally have people murdered in our church here in Gray. But we had constantly people coming through our church, doing Bible studies, and then the next week they were gone. They were dead. There were travel advisories over the country we lived in. There was organized crime. There were places you just couldn't go. Okay, that's true. My colleagues caught in a crossfire between rival gangs on visitation one night. Paul, when he speaks to his supporters, at least 9 times in the epistles, Paul asks for prayer from his churches. And 3 of those 8 or 9, that because it depends on who's counting, but 3 of those 8 or 9, he's asking for them to pray for protection from evil men. He prays over and over and asks the people to pray for an open door so that the gospel will have free course. All of our lives need to be offered to God on the altar of sacrifice. Here am I, Lord, send me, is what every Christian needs to say. Not that every Christian will be sent far away, but every Christian needs to be offered as a living sacrifice so that the Lord can use our lives. So we thank the Lord for this couple who has said this in a very public and a very decisive way. But you know, Paul only asked 9 times for prayer. He didn't write as many prayer letters as we missionaries write. We ask a lot more. But he also didn't ask for something that Michael and Victoria need to ask and probably already are asking for, because Paul didn't have a wife and children. Now, that was probably convenient for him, but it was also a limitation for him, because Michael and Victoria will do things that Michael alone could not do. Michael and Victoria together will be a team that God will use in planting of churches and discipling people and winning neighbors and friends to the Lord. Let me give you tonight 4 C's. That way you'll remember it, all right? 4 C's to remember for new missionaries going out. And the first C is culture shock. Now, Michael and Victoria have been there for 6 months. Praise the Lord. That's great. We went to Brazil having never been there. I mean, we had almost never been out of the United States. But every missionary who crosses borders, not Filipinos going to the Philippines, but you had culture shock coming to America, right? But culture shock is something every cross-cultural missionary has to face. And it's a real thing. It's something that can be debilitating. Now, they've been there for a while to visit, and that's great. But I'll promise you this, they didn't learn it all in 6 months. In fact, I say most of the time, as I've taught new missionaries going out, 6 months is just about the right time before it all starts going downhill. You arrive in your country and you are so excited. You've been raising your support and you're ready to go. And you get there and everything is great. The people are great. The foreign language is great. The food is great. The house you live, everything is great because you're excited to be where God called you to go. About 6 months down the line, it's not quite so great. It's hot and there's bugs and the electricity goes off and on and you're starting to miss some things you had when you were in the States and you're never going to get them. You're probably not. You've been there just long enough that you know a little bit of the language, but you constantly are lost when people around you are talking. And they look at you and ask questions and you're like, dear God, I have no idea what they're talking about. So you do what we did. We said, shake your head up and down and hope that was right. If they look at you funny, then you ask the question you get tired of asking, which was, what did you say? And ask them to repeat it. Culture shock and language learning is something so important, and they're going to have to do that. That's their first job. Now, we'd like to send them off and immediately have them sending back glowing reports of baptisms and all that. And they are going to work with some other missionaries. So they're going to get to be in on that. But their first job is to get used to the culture and to learn the language. They're going to spend months feeling stupid. They're going to be, and they don't even have one language to learn. There are six languages besides French in Burkina Faso. There are lots of tribal languages, so depending on where they're going to work, they're going to be talking to people or trying to talk to people who don't understand them. But they've got to do this. And as a church, as we pray for them, we need to pray that they'll have facility, that Victoria will have time. Renee and I were in language school. I got done in a year. Took Renee a little longer. She had a home to run. She had children to raise. We had a baby, or we got pregnant anyway. It was something in the water, I think. Happened to lots of people in language school. But she needed extra time. And it took her a little longer because of that. She really got fluent when she came back for her second term. It took longer for her to learn. Not everybody has the same facility at learning. Pray for them that they will have an ability to learn and adapt to the language and to learn the culture. Because learning culture is different than language. It's not just that you need to know the different words. Yeah, I mean, that's great, learning the different words. But what do they mean by those words? What do the people expect from you when you go to a door or they come to your house or you're at church? When they're greeting each other, what do they expect you to do? You can be very disoriented when you don't know in a group what other people expect you to do. What do the gestures mean? You can get yourself into trouble real quickly with American gestures. Food, how do you eat it? How do you cook it? Where do you buy it? We bought lots of things that we did not want because we went to the store and we could not communicate what it was we needed. And they kept asking us and offering. And finally, we just said, yeah, that's what I want, and took it home. And then we tried to figure out what to do with it. So the first C is culture shock, which involves the language study. So important. Pray for them as they take this first big, important step. Their lifetime of ministry depends on this. There's a temptation. I'll preach to you, Michael, for a minute. Temptation is to plow into the work. That's what men like to do, is to plow into the work. You can't leave your wife behind. She's going to need you to help while she's learning the language as well. You've got to help her along. But listen, this is the most important thing you can do in this first term on the field. Learn the language, learn the culture. We need to pray for them that they'll have. As you get to the end of your term, you're going to be already more and more involved. God will use you. Even with the limited language, the Lord will use you. Number two, co-workers. Second C, co-workers. Now, good co-workers, and they've got some there, apparently, so this is great. But this is not the end. This is the beginning of your ministry. Good co-workers are the best thing in the world. And over the years in Brazil, the Lord gave us over and over great missionary colleagues. They share the load. They share their hearts with you. They share the expenses of ministry because it's expensive to serve the Lord. But one of the biggest problems on mission fields is co-workers. People leave the field more often because of co-worker problems than they do for any other reason. It's the biggest thing that discourages missionaries and breaks up ministries on the field. Let's pray for Michael and for Victoria. Let's pray for them that they'll fit right in with this group that's already functioning, a church ministry already going, that they'll learn, they'll be adaptable, they'll listen, they'll take advice, and they'll be good co-workers, because you need to do that. And the old people, the older missionaries out there, one of the biggest issues on the field with co-workers is not necessarily the other mission co-workers, but the new missionaries. Be adaptable, be a learner, be a listener, be ready to do whatever needs to be done. And I thank the Lord for the good co-workers the Lord gave us. Now, you might have culture shock with your co-workers. Now, you've been with them a few months, so hopefully you already got through that phase. But, you know, Americans come from different places in America. You can have co-workers on the field who just come from a different part of the country. They might be independent fundamental Baptist, and yet they have a different style of music, or they have a different style of child rearing. That was a problem we faced one time, not us personally, but some we knew. Child rearing strategies different. The ways money was spent. There have been stories of co-workers who had wars over who ate the peanut butter. You know, things could happen on the field with co-workers. Pray that they'll be a part of that team and fit in and grow together. The third C is community. Now, here's a big issue for all missionaries, but particularly the wives. We men, I mentioned already, we kind of get into ministry. And, you know, I finished language school and I was just ministry. This is what I came here for, and I'm going to be out there. But the wives are at home, and they've got a family to take care of, a home to build, and a nest to protect, and they don't have the same outside opportunities that the men have, who are running around and maybe buying building materials and making visits and going to the church and taking off in the morning. Community. Missionaries need a circle of friends. Let's pray for them that God will give them. Now, we're hoping your co-workers are going to be that. But listen, nationals, develop friendship among nationals, develop friendship among other missionaries, your co-workers. In your church, obviously, there's already an existing church. Your neighbors, even co-workers that are not your, they're not going to be people you would start a church with. But you may meet other missionaries on the field, and you wouldn't maybe go to even the same churches in the States together, and you're not going to invite them in to preach in your church. But you know, they're just nice people, and you can make friends with them. Look for people around you that you can make friendships with. Obviously, making friends with nationals is so important for building relationships and reaching out to other people, but you just have to concentrate on opening the doors. It's easy in a foreign country, this is the reaction, to be worried about, you're in we'll call it, you know, third world country. It's, things aren't the way they are here. And sometimes things look dirty. And sometimes you're not sure what those people are doing or wearing or why they smell that way. And it's real easy to kind of want to do this wherever you are. I remember an occasion when we went out with a group from the church we were helping in. And they said they were going to a park and swim, but it was just a pond with cows in it in a grassy field, and it was pouring rain, and there was no bathroom, so everybody went to the pond when they needed to go, and they kept saying to us, "Get in the water." And I had all the kids with me, and we were like, "No, we're fine. We're fine, yeah, yeah." I mean, I couldn't say that in Portuguese, but we let them know that we were fine, really, we were. You need people around you to, form that family of friends. And I say wives perhaps more so even than the husband. And when you don't have the language, it gets really, really hard. Pray for Victoria. Pray for Michael, that they can build around them a circle that helps him. You're planning on living there the rest of your life. So you need that social network. Now, today it's easier because you can get online and you can maintain contact with people in the States. A bit of warning, okay? That's great. Do it. But you can isolate yourself online. And you can spend your day talking to Americans online when you need to be getting the circle around you. Let's pray that the Lord will give them that community. So we said, first of all, culture. We said, secondly, whatever I said, second was co-workers. Number three, I said a community. And the fourth one is kids. Brother Graham, kids don't start with C. Well, children do, and it was close enough, right? Okay. Your kids. You won't forget number four now. Your kids. Listen, let's pray for their kids. They need us to uphold them. There's nothing more precious to us than our kids, right, Eugene? Nothing more precious to us than our kids, and missionaries are just parents too. And they need us to pray for them, that their kids will be safe, their kids will be taken care of. As they get older, they've got educational needs that are going to have to be taken care of. Perhaps they'll homeschool. Perhaps in some situations, they might find some kind of school to participate in. But listen, we need to pray for their children. Pray that the Lord will help them to grow up healthy and well-educated and prepared. Missionary kids are the greatest kids in the world. I firmly believe that. I love being around missionary kids. My kids grew up on the mission field. They love being missionary kids. All of them live in America today, but all of them loved being MKs. MKs have a special relationship with one another. You'll find opportunities for them to meet others. But listen, also they need to be prepared for life. And I've known missionaries, kids, who... it's like their parents thought they didn't have to worry about school. And they grew up without a lot of background. And we worried about them, how they were going to develop. One day they'll probably come back to America. Maybe they'll come back for school. Maybe they'll come and go to the mission field. But maybe they'll just come back to America. They need to be prepared so they, when they get back to the States, they can function. They need to learn about American habits and so they don't stand out like oddballs. We've all met, you know, missionary kids that didn't fit in. They didn't fit in where they came from. They didn't fit in America. Let's pray for the kids that the Lord will help them to develop and grow the way they need to. There's all kinds of things we could talk about, but missionaries need. But I think these are four things. If we prayed these things, I thought, boy, when they sent the missionaries out from Antioch, the church fasted and prayed. And of course, this is individual, but I thought, oh, dear God, I am going to be praying for them as they go out. I want to make a point of praying that God would carry them in his almighty hands to the field, through the work, and to his glory, great success. May God bless you.
Amen to that. Well, I want to have a time of invitation. Bow our heads and the ladies come to play. Maybe the Lord has just burdened your heart tonight, and we're going to pray for the Turners in just a moment. But first of all, maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved. The reason the Turners are going to Burkina Faso is they want to preach the gospel, proclaim the message of Jesus Christ, and there's salvation in his name. Maybe you don't know Christ as your Savior. As they begin to play, and if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. And I'll just let you remain seated, but please don't be very alert to anybody who needs out. So if that's you, you need to come, be saved. Please do that. Brother Daniel's down here in the front and would love to take a Bible and show you how to be sure heaven's your home. Maybe you have some other need. Maybe you're saved. You need to be baptized. Lord willing, we're going to baptize this coming Sunday. You say, Pastor, if you're going to baptize somebody else, I need to follow Christ in baptism as well. Well, then you come and let us know that. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. you come as well. I tell you, well, let's, if you are able to, stand together with us. I'll have to have you sit in a little bit, but stand together. Make it easier on somebody to come out. Maybe you want to come and share the burden, share the load with the Turners, and you want to come and pray for them. I'm going to ask a host of you to come to the altar and pray for this family as they head out. In just a little bit, I'll have some of our deacons come and pray around them. But maybe you'd like to come and join at the altar and pray for Michael and Victoria and the babies. Why don't you find your way down to this altar and we'll pray for them. If you're a deacon, if you're able to, why don't you come on down. I'll have Marty lead you in just a little bit. But Victoria grew up here. Her training, her family, her life. And the Lord has picked up a chosen vessel and got her married. Now they're going on to serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Oh, we're not feeling sorry for them because they're the choicest servants. They are going to do the greatest work for God. But we are aware that they need our prayers. So as they continue to play, you pray. If there's some other need on your heart, you come. Thank you. You may look this way and you can also be seated. I'm going to ask Brother Michael and Victoria, why don't you all come on up here, and Eugene, Emily, why don't you come go with them, and Becca, I mean, don't you go to Burkina Faso, just come up here with them. Don't go with them there, just you stay here. But I'm going to have our deacons just kind of, with men will stand and we'll gather around them. And as I said before, we're not their sending church, but we sure do love them. And we want them to know that this church stands behind what they're doing. So men, if you just come on up here, we'll gather around and I'm going to have Marty lead us in prayer. And you, as he's praying out loud, you pray in your heart. We're joined together, sending this couple off, asking God to put his blessings, his protection, and some of those things that Graham had talked about, the community that they need, the co-workers that they need, and the children, that God would protect these two little ones. And if God brings more into their lives, that he would protect them as well. So as Marty prays, you pray with us. Marty.
Father, I thank you for this couple that's surrendered their life to you. Lord, it is such a high privilege that our church is able to pray for them and support them and send them out. Lord, I thank you. I can remember Victoria as a young child growing up in this church, being humble and tender-hearted. And Lord, I thank you for calling her and calling her husband, and Lord, their willingness to serve you. Lord, I thank you for the work that you've done in their lives.
Yeah.
Lord, I pray that you continue to bless them. Thank you, Lord, for where you've brought them this far. Thank you for the work you've done in their lives, bringing them together. Thank you for meeting their needs as far as raising their support. Mm-hmm. Thank you for giving them the burden for what you gave them for Burkina Faso. Lord, now I ask that you bless them. Bless them in their marriage. Pray that you'll help them to grow closer together, to love each other with a stronger love each day. Pray that you'll bless them as they do their devotions and grow closer to you and find more about you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Lord, because they're going to need you. And I pray that you'll encourage them thoroughly each day in your word. Lord, they have many plans already in place. And I pray that you'll bless their plans. I pray that you'll encourage them as they go. Lord, there's many things that still have to fall in place, I'm sure. And I pray that you'll make that transition smooth as they go. In the days ahead, they've got stuff, they've got decisions to make and things to do. I pray that you'll help them make the perfect decision, Lord. You have a perfect plan, a perfect will. I pray that you'll show them and help them to make the perfect decisions, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll help them, their children as they go, Lord. It's going to be a big deal for their children to change and to move. And pray that you'll bless them in this transition. Pray that you'll help the parents as they go to minister to their children in this process. Father, I pray that you, as they go over there, that as they get there, as Brother Graham talked about, learning the language, and as Brother Michael asked us to pray for, pray that you'll help that transition, to help them learn this language. Pray that you give them great wisdom, make it easy for them to learn this language, help them to minister to these people, Lord, that they're called to reach. Pray that you give them boldness, Lord, when they get there. Pray that you'll help them to reach the lost, Lord. That's what they're called to do. Pray that you give them the unction and the words to say and the love for the people, Lord, to reach them, to help people to see their need of a Savior. And Lord, that we'll hear of people that they've reached and that they've led to you, Lord. Pray, Lord, now that you'll protect them, that you'll put a hedge of protection about them, that only just you can protect their minds, protect their hearts, protect their bodies. Lord, now I pray that you'll bless their families. Watch over them. Give them peace. Lord, I know that they're excited. And I know their hearts. They're grateful that they're calling their child. Pray that you'll bless them in this day's ahead. Thank you again, Lord, for what's such a great honor of supporting this couple. Thank you for calling one out of our church in our midst. It's such an honor, Lord, that you would do that. Help us to never take that for granted, never take it lightly, Lord, that you would reach down and use our church. Lord, you are worthy of honor and praise and glory. And we pray that you get it through our lives and through their lives. Bless this couple. Bless their efforts. I ask these things in Jesus' name.
And all God's people said, amen, 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 and amen. Michael, Victoria, we love you. We're praying for you. We're standing behind you. We're looking forward to what God has continued to use you to do. I'm going to dismiss the Turners to head on over to the Family Life Center before they get sat down. So if you want to head on back that way. And we're so thankful that they have been with us. And we invite you to come over to a reception over in the gymnasium part of the Family Life Center. We'll just have a good time together. And before you make it there, Brother Augie and his family will be out in the lobby. If you want to slip on back that way, Brother Augie, thank you so much for being here. You capped our night off with this wonderful time. And we're thankful for them. And then as they make their way back that direction, then let me know when the live stream's off up there, Heath.